Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Good afternoon, KB.
Afternoon, Darren. Darren, would you think it's the 21st of June today?
Yes.
It's the longest day of the year.
That's right. Yes, it is. Yeah.
We look at the bloody weather we've had.
Beautiful weather up here at the moment.
Today.
We're actually having a summer. That's what it feels like.
But what I'm trying to get at, what terrible weather we've had throughout Europe and indeed the world. Floods, earthquakes, gosh knows what else. Bushfires and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, true.
So much for global warming.
Well, that might be because of global warming.
I blame Trump.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it, KB. Loads to go through as ever. Let's start with Leeds United. Marcelo Bielsa is going to be conducting his first press conference beginning of next week. It's just been announced on Monday. And, people are getting very, very excited about Bielsa taking over at Leeds. He's a manager with a lot of credentials, and there's a lot of very high-profile managers at the moment that class him as almost like their footballing mentor. A bit of a coup to get him at Elland Road.
Well, yes, and congratulations to the chairman. I can't comment on him because, frankly, I've never heard of him. But then I wouldn't because I'm basically an English or British-orientated football guy, but it shows a radical change from the last 5 years with the Arabs. Never trust an Arab. And the Italians, Massimo. Change a manager with the underpants sort of thing. No direct plan. But now it looks, let's have to hold our breath and hope. But it may be we've got a sea change and a long-termism where the new manager, well, I gather he's bringing his own staff with him, can then sit back and plan long-term and not the end of this month. It's a pity, as I said earlier, it wasn't appointed before. Because it gives him chance, but it gives him more chance to get to know the character of the players, which is as important as their abilities. And because he's only just been appointed, he hasn't got a lot of time. But good luck to him. More importantly, to the fans, we must give him time. Make his point. Therefore, for the benefit of the doubt, see where we are at Christmas.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting ride, KB. There's no doubt about that. And keeping with football, World Cup, of course, all the first round games are done and dusted now. England have won their opening game for the first time since 1998. That was against Tunisia as well. It's been a fantastic tournament so far. Really, really enjoyed it. Yeah, what's been your point?
Despite the referee.
Yeah, despite the referee. What's been your thoughts on the World Cup so far?
Well, it's too early. But the thing is, I remember Platini admitting a few weeks ago, in fact, they fixed the early draw, to make sure that Brazil and Germany avoided each other. I must confess, looking at the two teams Russia's played so far, I must confess I wondered if they'd done it again. Russia, of course, being the host, had to go through the knockout stages. Saudi Arabia, New Zealand, and Egypt must be the two worst countries, weakest countries of the tournament. So Russia's through. They got their 6 points. And the hosts are safe. I said about David Moyes 30 years ago. I like the cut of his jib. But he was a new young manager at Preston. And I have the same thought about Gareth Southgate. I think he's thinking long term. I hope the FA suits give him that long term to build. He's been very brave. He had a total clear out of the old gang. We started again with players who are young and talented and more enthusiastic, have no egos, just get on with the job. The next game is on Sunday. Panama. Hopefully they win that. Then we're into the knockout stages. It'll finally be interesting to see who we play. But if I may be so, and I'm very impressed with Southgate, I think he's going to be, I told him it's 1917 World Cup final. So I have great respect for him. I wished him well. I thought he would do well. And that's still my feeling today.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm loving a bit of Gareth Southgate at the moment. He's superb. Let's talk some Brexit, KB.
If I may be so impetuous to give him one piece of advice. Vardy, you're not a hitman. When the previous manager paid me a time or two, wasted. When Leicester won the Premiership, they had Kante hitting the ball from right side midfield. He dropped it to the far side of the penalty area where Vardy was always lurking. And where Vardy's brilliant. As the ball comes down, he just volleyed it back of the net. A number of times Leicester won 1-0 from Vardy's volley. So please, Gareth, when you play Vardy, let him look and let him be a free spirit at the edge of the penalty area. And the opposition wonder what's hit him. And that, good luck.
Yeah, exactly right.
Might have ticked a million people saying that.
Let's hope so, KB. Let's hope so. Let's move on to KB to Brexit. It's been quite a bit of movement in Brexit this week. A lot of votes happening. House of Lords defeating the government at one point. It's all hurtling towards us leaving Europe. But whether or not we're going to get the greatest deal or not, I don't know.
Well, let's deal with House of Lords, and then do what we should get them out of the way. In the America, USA, they have, I think, 400 million population. I think their upper house, equivalent House of Lords, had about 150 members. In the UK, population 60 million, have 1,000. And most of them are total bloody parasites. Many of them are time-serving civil servants who have been given for doing their job. The rest are failed politicians, donors to the respective parties. Most, an awful lot of them, have no particular ability or anything to make a contribution at all. And they are not elected. They represent nobody. They get £300 a day tax-free appearance money. All they've got to do is turn up, check in, and bugger off. Or have a subsidised drink at the bar, a subsidised meal at the household bar as well. But they are no longer a contributor, and next thing, as soon as Brexit sorted out, the House of Lords must be radically changed and got rid of. And now let's move on to Theresa May hasn't had the loyalty or support she deserves or needs from indeed some of her own party members. And both in the Tory party and the Labour party, we have MPs who represent constituents who voted to leave, yet their MPs are Remainers, and they have not therefore represented the constituents they are sent to Westminster to represent. They should go. They all should be deselected and chucked out before the next election. When the chips were down, the rebellion fizzled out and Theresa May got the votes she needed. Right, now let's get down to Brexit. And where we have been, we're behind the scenes, I suspect, I hope, the civil service doing a good job out of the limelight. But with my dealings with the civil service, I fear they're not. I don't know whether they're incompetent or whether they are think they are running the country instead of being paid to do what the politicians want. But all we've got at the moment is the British government making offers and concessions and proposals. We get nothing from the other side. So I think I'm sick of Garnier and Schultz and Juncker, none of whom have done a day's work in their life in the real world, unelected, self-perpetuating. I think we should start hitting back. Let's go through a few things bit by bit. First of all, apparently, Mr. Garnier has stopped the air traffic control people talking about how they're going to supervise the safety of airplanes flying after we leave. Okay, Mr. Garnier, that's what you want, that's what you can have. How are your European airlines going to get to North America if we don't allow you overfly British airspace? What are you going to say to the Portuguese, Spanish, French, Italian and Greek tourist destinations when they're not going to get the 2 to 3 million English people to have their holidays in Europe anymore? Because they won't be able to fly there, will they? Nor will your airlines be able to fly either, Mr. Garnier. And how are you going to sort it out with Ireland? Because the only places that Ryanair and Aer Lingus were able to fly to is North America, possibly Portugal and Spain, and possibly Norway. So how are you going to sort that out with Ireland? And then there's this proposal that we will not be allowed to participate in the European system of space, you know, SPS and that kind of stuff. Sat-navs. But we made the biggest contribution to the development. It's mostly British technology. Okay, as from the 1st of August, we'll stop. We'll pay no money into it. Europeans can get on with it. The same applies to Euroatom. And then they're talking about there won't be any cooperation between European political security services and the British. Well, tough titty Europe. Because the British intelligence services are the one of the best in the world, and definitely the best in Europe. So get on with it. But just remember, the British civil servants, the British intelligence services, they tipped you off about an awful lot of would-be ISIS terror attacks over the last 2 years. But good luck, get on with it. And expats, you know, European citizens living in England and in Britain, and British citizens living in Europe, well, it's very simple. Whatever you give British people living in Europe, we'll give European citizens living in England, Britain. It's a double deal. Not one and then the other. No, it's the same deal at the same time. Oh, and you can forget the 40 billion we offered. I sort of divorce settlement. No, not going to give you anything. We'll give you a penny. And we're not paying for the new bloated 25 European Parliament to replace the 25-year-old building you've got now. No, you pay for it. And by the way, on the 20th of March, we'll be leaving the European Parliament. So our 70-number EMPs, MEPs, won't be there. Won't pay their wages or their pensions or anything. We'll be out. You're on your own. Good luck here. And then we come to Ireland. Well, Mr. Taoiseach, you're telling us what you won't accept and this and that. Well, why don't you get off your fat ass and start come up with your proposals? How we work together. We're neighbours. I think we are your biggest export market. And you're a significant export market for us. So why don't you be constructive? Instead of saying no, 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 the Irish are very intelligent, clever nation, why don't you say, how about this, how about the other? But on one condition. Oh, and don't forget also at the moment, since 1921, Irish citizens have had free access to the UK. Well, will that continue? But to show we're not anti-Irish, that will also apply to the Romanian gypsies as well. Don't them either. So, Mr. Garnier, before you make your grandstorming speeches to a complacent audience, just think about consequences of your proposed actions or inactivity. Don't think you're going to get away with it. And also don't forget, you've got problems of your own in Greece, in Italy. Mrs. Merkel has a divided parliament. And of course you've got problems with Romania, Bulgaria and Hungary. Oh, and of course in Spain. The Catalonian problem. So Mr. Garnier, stop being so bloody bombastic. I can't remember. Are you Belgian or are you Luxembourg? I can't remember. But just remember you represent nobody. You're self-appointed, self-perpetuating. I can't understand democracy where the civil service in Europe, independent and above the democratically elected European politicians, MPs. And I always remember that lovely thing when Nigel Farage was in the European Parliament after the vote had taken place, the leave had taken place. I'm not sure if Mr. is either Mr. Juncker or Mr. Schultz said to him, said to him, Farage, what are you doing here? And Farage said, well, I was elected. More importantly, what are you doing here? So I said, but Great Britain, it's about time we stood up to our name. Great Britain, stand up for herself. Let's welcome New Zealand wine, Australian wine, South African wine, South American wine, and Napa Valley wine from America. And tell the French and Italians where to stick theirs. Unless it's all part of a deal. And let's start, and by the way, Mr. Garnier, we start negotiating our trade deals on the 1st of September when all the politicians around the world come back from their extended holidays. Think about that, Mr. Garnier. Because life ain't as easy and as simple as you think it is. And just one other thing. You're okay being a bully. For the moment, your intended victim tells you to get lost. What do you do next? Oh, sorry, I've got one other thing. And the other thing is, Mr. Garnier, on the 20th of March, 2019, all foreign fishing boats will be banned from fishing in British waters. And also, Mr. Garnier, we are aware that some British registered boats are owned by foreign nationals. They will also be banned. So British fishermen will have exclusive rights in British waters. And that will create thousands of new jobs in all our fishing ports. And that factory in Holland, where they ship Scottish smoked salmon across there, where they smoke it and ship it back again, they'll have to shut down. You won't get any more smoked salmon. And also our farmers. We'll immediately abolish all these subsidies that are paid to all farmers, farm landowners, including those guys that own 1,000 acres and don't do any farming. I'll stop. The money now will go back to British farmers. Milk quotas will be abolished in England so the farmers can get going again. And as a former dairy farmer, I know the damage that did to the dairy industry and how well it can grow again. So, Mr. Garnier, putting it simply, up yours.
Well, KP, on that bombshell, thanks very much for your time this afternoon. We'll catch up with you again next week.
It wasn't a bombshell, it was an exercise missile.
Perfect, KP, thanks for that.
Hang on. See you.